Pulpit Radio Show. We are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses, saving jobs, trying to save our community. Now, if I save a soul along the way, don't hold that against me. We'll just call that icing on the cake. Because the mission here at the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show is to build strong businesses in our community so that we can put our people to work. Now, we do that with business development, job creation, and service. So if you ever find yourself at a business crossroads and not sure which way to turn, I want you to turn to the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show right here every Friday, 10:30 a.m. I'm Robert Gatewood, your host, and I bring you a good message. I bring you a show. I try to do everything in my God-given power to help turn our community into a positive, job-producing, income-producing, good cause-producing, humanity-saving, and a few more adjectives, adverbs, and pronouns, and verbs, and all that good stuff. So, also up in the studio today, Miss Attorney Tisha Hillman. Good morning, Tisha.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to see you back in the booth, because I know when you come, you bring the fire.
I try.
I have to bring a fire hydrant up in here when you come.
Got to.
Welcome to the show. A lot is going on. I was just listening to the news. Man, you know the news is like a reality show nowadays. You know, in the old days, it used to be the news was the news. You go home at 5 o'clock. This is probably before your time. You go home around...
I mean, I am like 20.
Really, you know, like, that was like a news time of day. It came on around 7 o'clock at night. I think Huntley Brinkley and Max Robinson. I know it was way before your time. And so you kind of went through your day waiting. You know, you didn't obsess over news, but you knew you get home at night, you're going to catch up on everything. Well, now news is like a reality show, especially now that you have a reality person running, a crazy man in the White House running things. It is a drama 24 hours a day.
You can hardly keep up. Every time you turn on the news, it's something else.
It's something else. So we wake up this morning, and, well, last night, the Trump and the Russians they got together again and decided to launch this missile attack. I am convinced this is one more Russia-Trump collusion. Because think about it. What did Trump or Russia have to lose in this attack? They hit a big old airfield with nobody on it. They told the Russians they were coming. So I'm sure the Russians told the Syrians to get their planes out of there, too. The bottom line is Trump's ratings go up. He'll be in the 50% mark by Monday. Because, you know, people, one thing about this country, we love a good war, boy. Whenever we go to war, we all rally around the commander-in-chief. So really, Trump had nothing to lose. The Russians had nothing to lose. So it was just a win-win. I think it was just one more big political ploy. Now, that's my take on it. So we'll see what happens.
Always a distraction.
Always. Now we're not talking about the Russians and all these dots they've been connecting. They keep saying, well, there's Nunes, there's Flynn, there's... I mean, that just goes Manafort.
And let's not forget Kushner. The Russians that are randomly, like, dying of poisoning and falling off of buildings. They Suge Knighton Russians around here.
They say, well, it's Suge Knighton. That's pretty good. So they say, well, it's all coincidental. It's circumstantial. Yes, the dots. They haven't connected the dots. But, God, man, there's a lot of dots. There's so many dots. There's dots upon dots upon dots.
I just want somebody to go ahead and, you know how when you were kids, well, when I was a kid, you know, you have those little puzzles that you take in the bathroom with you, you know, connecting the dots, and it draws a little.
Right.
I'm pretty sure, and I'm waiting for the day that somebody finally says, okay, enough dots. How clearer of a picture can you paint at this point?
People know. They know. Come on. It's all about money. It's all about money. Ain't a darn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. That's probably before your time, too. Don't push me because I'm close to the
edge.
That song. I'm trying not to lose my head. Maybe wonder if I think I'm going under. Anyway, folks, this is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. The number is 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. We have a fantastic show today, as usual. Also, this is the first Friday of the month. First Friday, and every first Friday, we have to have our first Friday networking event over at the Marketing Pulpit, really headquarters over in Largo, Maryland. So today is no exception. first Friday from 6:30 until about 8 o'clock, we network.
Does this mean chicken and beer?
Chicken, beer, wine. Wait, maybe not beer, but we have a little vino kind of hidden in the corner. We don't want people to come out just to save $5 on happy hour. But we have a little wine kind of hidden in the corner over there.
It's not in the box, though, is it?
Hey, what's wrong with the box? Come on, now. It's got a little sip straw in it and everything. No, it's not in a box. It's not the heavy stuff. But, you know, we have a little wine and cheese just to kind of take the sting off because we are competing with happy hour. So some people say, look, you can't interfere with my happy hour. Why would I network when I could be out here at the club? Well, we're saying, look, there is an alternative. Come on out. Don't blow this opportunity to network because it's Friday. So we have the food, have some chicken and sandwiches. We have some, and we have a strawberry shortcake tonight. We got a strawberry shortcake cheat cake. Man, you don't want to miss that. Don't come out just for the food, but just in case you're saying to yourself, wow, that is around dinner time, and my happy hour.
I mean, you were promoting the strawberry shortcake, though.
Okay, well, okay. A little self-promotion of strawberry. That might get a couple of folks to come up. But whatever it takes to get you out, my objective is to get you out so that you can network. There is no stronger, more surefire way of capitalizing and benefiting from your time and your charisma than coming out to a good networking event, and First Friday foots the bill. Let's say you have a new company you've just launched. Let's say you just wrote a book. Let's just say you have a nonprofit, and you're looking to get traction. You're trying to get sponsors, donors, people to buy your book. You're trying to find people to support your new company. You're trying to get the word out. You're sitting there on a tight budget. Why sit there and moan and groan and complain that you don't have any money when we're offering you an opportunity free to come out and put your name out here in front of 25, 30 people? Many of them have their checkbooks with them. Now, while I'm talking about networking, give you some quick tips. Now, when you go to networking events, you're not just going out there with your sales book out, because that's not what networking is about. Networking is about building relationships, making connections. Just think about if you're in an elevator, in which we do have a point during the first Friday where you do your elevator pitch. But when you're in the elevator, you're not going to really sell anybody anything. What you want to do in that elevator during your elevator pitch is to make the connection, is to establish the relationship, and then do the follow-up. So elevator pitch is like a synopsis, a condensed version of what happens at a networking opportunity, at a networking event. And First Friday is no exception. Come on out, bring you some business cards, dust off your elevator. survive in this age of monopolies. Monopolies now just running rampant over everybody. If you're a small business and you're trying to compete against Walmart and Target and the big bookstores and the big IT firms, the big law firms, or whatever, then you need a strategy. Either join them or beat them, or some combination of both. And we're going to talk about that tonight. So go to marketingpulpit.com, and go ahead and register. We have a few free seats left. I think we had like 15, 20 free seats. After that, it's only $9. So we probably have about three, maybe they may be gone. But anyway, go ahead and see. We may have a few left. I think we had 20 free seats. So, and we only would take like 25 to fit in that boardroom. So go ahead and get you the free seats that are left. Go to marketingpulpit.com and come on out and network. Come on out and network. And we're actually going to give you some tips on networking. One, you don't go in there with your sales book out. Don't try to get there late, because it's not like a nightclub where you come in there with your posse all late.
Not the posse, though. Come on. Not the posse. No.
With your big fur coat on and your sunglasses. This is not that kind of party.
But who has a posse and fur coat? Like, who?
Hey, you never know. Hey, look, I went to
it. The posse and the fur coat.
Okay, I'm exaggerating. I'm just saying, this is a professional network event. You done called me on it, right? Okay, there will be no posses and fur coats. This is a professional networking event. Some of the folks, I know Attorney William Porter, he's going to be there. He's become like a regular person. John James, the president of the Black Business MBA Association, and a few other people that are just really good people that are going to come out there tonight. I know several of the nonprofits have already registered. Let's see, a couple of authors have already registered. Come on out, folks. This is the first Friday. And go to marketingpulpit.com and register and get your name on the roll. Later in the show, we're going to have Teacher. What are you going to enlighten us with today, Teacher?
So I want to talk to everybody about why it's important to know your rights when dealing with law enforcement.
Ooh, boy. Now, that's a good one. Because it's like it's hard not to deal with law enforcement nowadays. They jokers are everywhere.
Well, especially if you're black and brown. They will be everywhere if you're black and brown.
See, I was trying to be PC, but tell it like it is.
Do PC.
That big target on your back if you are a certain persuasion. So that's a great topic. So later in the show at 11 o'clock hour, teacher's going to tell us about how to know your rights when you're dealing with law enforcement. So you stick around for that. Also, in the next segment, we're going to talk about cookies and CAPTCHA. Cookies and CAPTCHA. That's not a singing group. That's not a poem. That's not CAPTCHA. A new CAPTCHA. CAPTCH. We're going to tell you what CAPTCHA is. And cookies. We're not talking about the kind of cookies you eat. It's not chocolate chip or Keebler Elf cookies.
Peanut butter.
We're talking about browser-type cookies. And then at the last segment, we're going to talk about licensing. Licensing as a business strategy. This is the Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break. So hang on to your seat and come back and join us in a moment.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS and 95.9 FM.
Alrighty, this is the Marketing Pulpit Radio Show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host. The number here is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. If you have a question for my co-host here, Ms. Attorney Teacher Hillman, or myself, I'm Robert Gatewood, and we are here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the Good Morning Gospel. And feel free to call us if you think about coming out for the first Friday tonight. Want to talk about that? Want to talk about Donald Trump and the mess he's making, and Bill O'Reilly and the mess he's making. Who, Bill O'Reilly? Let me tell you something, folks. Now, this is what I found amazing. I'm convinced that people don't give a hoot about women being harassed in this country.
Call it like it is.
I'm just going to say it. People don't give a good hoot about women being harassed, and I'm not that happy about it. Bill O'Reilly does this, he's been sued, he's paying money out of the yin-yang, paid about $13 million already. And one lady, Wendy, somebody, she was on there talking about how he tried to hit on her, and then she had to pay a price with her career. And so all these advertisers, I think 40 advertisers to date have withdrawn their sponsorship of the Bill O'Reilly show. And you think that that would be a bloodletting as far as the listenership is concerned. Guess what? His listenership has gone up 14%.
Wow, that's disturbing.
People don't care, Tisha, because let's look at Donald Trump. He's grabbing women by the private parts, talking about it on the air, and you would have thought that women would have just abandoned him wholesale. He still got 52% of the female vote.
53, to be specific. Now, and the sister, educated women.
He didn't get the black women, though. Now, we'll give the sisters, man, love you guys. Black women, say, we ain't having none of that. And I was surprised he got 13. I'm still mad about this. I mean, 13% of black men voted for that rascal. I cannot figure that part out.
You know, me and my friends always talk about this whole phenomenon of people consistently voting against their interests.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, sometimes I don't even know what to say about it because, I mean, I don't know how you marry the two ideas.
I'm going to tell you how. Because when we say people are voting against their interests, they really aren't. If your interest is racist, being racist, holding people down, advancing white supremacy.
Yes, that's
then
true.
That is your interest.
Yes.
And that interest could be greater than your economic viability. It could be greater than your kids having a good education. It could be greater than the economy. If that's your primary interest, then you are voting your interest.
But what about the 13% of black men, though?
Well, I think there was some misogynistic men in that group. I think there was some misinformed men. I think there was some people just bought the line. They were gullible. And I'm not saying everybody voted, because some people really are conservative. They really believe in small government. They believe in, but I think a big percentage, really, it's a puzzle to me. It really is a puzzle to me. And if anybody wants to explain it to me, I don't get it. I really don't get it, because there's nothing I could see that would ever make me vote for. I would not vote at all. I would just hold my vote before I would do it. I just couldn't do it. But anyway, folks, that's what's going on. But the point I was making, I was talking about Bill O'Reilly, that this whole new atmosphere, this whole new mindset in the country of marginalizing people other than a certain gender and race. And you have women now who obviously being really on attack with some of the legislation, trying to close up Planned Parenthood. And we know darn well abortion services is only about 3% of all the services that they provide.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this attack. And then you have somebody like Bill O'Reilly, who's an obvious misogynist, harasser, and his ratings are going up, even though the advertisers are pulling out. It just speaks to the mindset of many of the people in this country. And I would be the first one to admit that some of these brothers that voted for Donald Trump, they really just didn't want to see a woman president, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to be honest about that. Because the thing I always say is you really cannot fix a problem until you address the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so until we call a thing a thing, we're never going to get past this, maintaining white supremacy and this misogynistic society until we really admit what it really is.
You gotta look the problem
and
in the face.
We can't just call it conservative. That's not what it is. Call it what it is.
Yep, they call it alt-right. They call it a conservative. They call it this and that.
I call alt-right the KKK. Let's call it what it is.
You are something, girl. I like it, though. I love it. You sound like me over there. Hey, let's talk about cookies and capture for a minute. And also, don't forget to go to marketingpulpit.com and register for the first Friday that's coming up. That's tonight from 6:30 over 9701 Apollo Drive. I will be there. We're going to talk about how small businesses can survive in this era of monopolies. And that's just been a topic now that's been near and dear to my heart, because I consult a lot of businesses that come to me now, and I've really had a good month, a good year, because people are really kind of a little nervous, but they realize they need a strategy. They need somebody that knows the business world, that knows it's not just good enough now to have a good product or a good service. That used to work. You've got to have a strategy now. You better have a darn good one. So one thing I'd do, I'd look at every client, because clients and businesses to me are like snowflakes. Each one is different. So I craft a strategy that's specific for that particular client in that particular market at this particular time. And if you're just going out here saying, I'm going to hang up my shingle because I make the best cakes or because I have the best clothes or because I do the best hair, you're in for a rude awakening. It's not that easy, folks. Look, teacher went, I'm not even going to tell you how many years teacher had to go to school to get her law degree,
and
how many student loans she stacked up with.
A lot.
Now she paid a lot. She paid in times of time and nights of sleeplessness, money. And now she is a successful businesswoman. Now, how do you feel like you could just walk out here tomorrow with no experience, no money, no understanding of how it works, and be successful? You have to put in the same amount of time and effort that teacher did to get to her success level. Now, it's going to be different. It's going to be different in terms of the resources you have to put in terms of the money you have to spend, but you have to commit to it. What teacher did was she committed to the process. You have to do that as a business owner, and you cannot do it by yourself. Just like she couldn't go to school and get her degree by herself. She had to engage. She had to go to school. She had to get had to pass the bar association and all that good stuff. You have to make the same type of commitment to be a successful business owner. And that is why I have been working with clients this week and earlier in the month. I have a big uptick in clients. But if you need help, just call me. 301-839-2836. And go to my website, gatewoodmarketing.com, and see all the many services we have. We have some special packages for a la carte services, but most people just retain me and just turn me loose. I just had a lady down in one of my good friends, clients down in Houston, Texas. We just decided made a real novel approach to her business to turn into a new, you need strategy. Let's put it that way. Let's talk about one of my topics today, cookies and capture. People always talking about cookies now because we hear about online security. We talk about this and that and the other. So people have been asking me about what is cookies. Well, cookies, I'm not talking about the chocolate chip kind or the Keebler Elves kind of cookies. We're talking about browser cookies. When you go to a website, in most cases, there's a cookie is dropped into your browser. Now, it's a text file. It's a text file that kind of keeps track of your browser history. And so most people, they get nervous when they think about anybody putting anything on their computer. Well, the good news is that most cookies are not what we call an executable file. They're not like a virus or spyware. So most cookies are harmless for the most part. So a cookie, what it does, though, it makes it easier for you that you can, let's say if you go to a, you're on a website, and then you leave that website, you don't even close your browser, just go to another window. We call that a session cookie. So long as you're on that website, it's remembering that you're there. So you don't have to keep re-entering certain information. If you go to a certain page, you start filling out a form, that it remembers you. That's called a session cookie. Then there's the persistent cookie. That means if you even leave the website, close it down, and come back, like let's say next week, that browser still remembers that you were at that website. We call that a persistent cookie. Now, the difference is that the cookies have like a certain date. Now, when you go to a website, go to their privacy policy, and most of the time they will tell you in their privacy policy what their cookie policy is, how long the cookie stays on your website, what they do with your information, and if it's an e-commerce site, you might want to make sure they do have some type of privacy policy just to make sure you know how your information is handled and how long that cookie is going to stand around. Most standard cookies hang around for 45 days. So that means that your browser will remember that website for the next 45 days. And then another kind of cookie is called the secure cookie. And that's used for things like for e-commerce, HTTPS, SSL. Those cookies tend to be a little more, engaging because they're a little more secure. And because they deal with the transfer of money and funds. So to wrap this up, you can control your cookies also. If you go into your settings, you can disable cookies. Now, that's going to make life a little miserable for you if you go into these different. Let's say you filled out a big old long form on a website, mm-hmm. and then you come back like a couple of minutes later, and it's gone because you didn't have a session cookie or because you had disabled the cookies on your website, on your browser. Well, so first of all, I want you to understand that cookies are not really bad. I mean, there's always
when you say not really, because you know I'm a lawyer, so words mean stuff. When you say not really.
Well, I'm saying it because you have to understand that it is a cookie. Because if you thinking if it's it, I mean, spyware and things like that sometimes can be confused with cookies. So I don't want you to feel like all of a sudden you just open up your website, your browser to anything that people want to drop on it. Make sure that it is a cookie, first of all. But for the most part, cookies are not executable. They just help you track information that you went to a certain website.
Now, how do I know something is a cookie?
We're going to have to answer that after the break. Folks, this is the Marketing Pulpit. We have in the studio Teacher Hillman. We're talking about cookies. She's coming up on the next segment talking about your rights. Dealing with law enforcement. Marketing Pulpit, we'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM.
All right, this is the Marketing Pulpit radio show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host, here every Friday at 10:30 AM, bringing you the good marketing gospel. The number is 1-800-450-7876, 1-800-450-7876. We were talking about cookies. Cookies. Let me tell you something, folks. If you want to be out here in this electronic internet web world, you got to learn, got to get familiar with some of these things that are going on. And a teacher asked a question before the break. She said, "Well, how do I see the cookies? How do I know they're there?" Well, some things you have to assume, and that whether right or wrong, when you go to a website, just assume that there is going to be a cookie dropped in your browser. And I'll panic and say, "Wow, God, I don't want anybody dropping anything on my computer." Well, let's imagine you go back to let's say you have a PayPal account or you have an Apple account, and you went there today. Let's say you disabled your cookies. You went there today. All of a sudden, that little password, that little login that you done forgot about, it's no longer there. That password you haven't used in the last 5 months because it was always popped up when you went there, it's no longer there. So beware of disabling those cookies, because once they're gone, you better have yourself a list of passwords and logins right there in front of you at all times. So that's the advantage of cookies, is that you don't have to keep memorizing or carrying around all this information like your login, your username, and even your password in some cases. Because you usually have an option on passwords or usernames to remember. Just click that button at the bottom of the login. Now, she said, how do you find out? Well, just if you haven't already, one day you might just take a walk down memory lane and go back into your settings. Go to your settings, your computer settings, your firewall settings, or just your browser settings, and you'll see some things back there that you, I didn't know this was back here. And it's things that control your cookies, the types of settings, high levels of security, what type of alerts you can get, and so forth, what can be downloaded when you come. Like if you go to a certain browser, you might tell it not to download files without some type of warning. So there's a lot of information back there. So if you're worried about cookies and security, go into your settings. And if you're not sure, ask somebody. Call your IT person, call the person that gave you the computer or set it up for you, and just say, "Look, hey, I was at the Marketing Pulpit radio show. I just want to make sure my settings are the way I want them to be." All right, so anyway, my number is 1-800-450-7876 here at the station. 1-800-450-7876. If you have any questions about anything, need marketing, web, social media service, call me at 301-839-2836 or go to gatewoodmarketing.com. Now, I have in the studio here with me a CHOP sister who has joined. She's been with the show now, started last year, and I have enjoyed every first Friday that she has made her appearance, and she always brings a new level of raises the bar. Let's put it that way. She raises the bar. And go to marketingpulpit.com. She's on the homepage. We have her information if you want to reach out to her. And just give us your information before we even start, teacher, so how people can find out more about you, because they want to, if they have a legal issue on any of the topics you talk about, they need to reach out to you.
They do. Absolutely.
And don't hesitate. Call this sister. She's good. I wouldn't have her sitting here if she wasn't. Give me your information before you even get started.
So my office is the law office of Tisha S. Hillman. We are located at 9701 Apollo Drive in Suite 301. That's in Largo, Maryland. And if you need the zip code for your GPS, which not really sure why you do, but it's 20774. My phone number is 301-744-7996. And please feel free to follow me on Twitter, to like us on Facebook, and to visit our website at www.tshillmanlaw.com.
All right. Now, teacher,
my blood type is O positive.
Where you going? TMI.
Right. Since I'm giving out all this information.
Your height, your weight. I know you're not giving out your weight, because that's just not something women do.
No.
But you talked about, you mentioned before we went on the break that there are certain rights people need to be aware of when they're interacting with law enforcement. We've seen a lot of instances over the last couple of years, going back to Trayvon and Ferguson, and happening in North Carolina and South Carolina. People interacting with the law enforcement, and a lot of times it didn't have a happy ending.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that. Will you tell me, could some of those outcomes have been different if people understood their rights when interacting, or is that just something totally different?
So, you know, this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
And to answer your question in short, no. And the reason I do not believe that many of them could have been avoided by someone knowing their rights is okay. Because I think that a lot of them were the result of white supremacy.
Okay. Rights wouldn't have done them one bit of good.
Right.
They could have quoted their whole penal code.
Exactly.
Front to back.
Exactly. Like, think about the guy recently. I think it was, it's so many. The young man in Florida who was lying on the ground with his hands in the air.
Okay.
Knowing his rights did not prevent him from being shot, because when he said, "Why did you shoot me?"
He was quoting his rights when he got
right.
shot.
The officer said, "I don't know."
Okay.
So.
Okay, so that's a different topic.
It is.
So tell us about the rights. What rights you should know when dealing with law enforcement?
So, you know, I say know your rights when, because it's not if you are, you know, if you don't have the complexion for protection.
Okay.
I don't mince words. So
you don't mince words.
So it's important that when you encounter law enforcement, that you know that you have the right to remain silent. I know people, watch Law and Order or any of these legal shows, and, you know, you hear these things thrown out, but these things have meaning,
okay.
Right? And so, if you are encountered by law enforcement, whether you are in your home, whether you are walking down the street, whether you are in your vehicle, you have constitutional protections. And yes, this also applies if you are here illegally. If you are in these United States, you still are protected by the Constitution, and you have a right to remain silent.
Even if I say, give me your green card, you can say, I'm not saying anything.
So, now, the immigration is a whole, like,
another story.
That's a whole another radio show.
I got you.
But specifically when it comes to just encounters, right?
But here's the, this what people, this how they get you. I didn't do anything wrong, so I just told them. I mean, I didn't have anything to
That's
hide.
Stupid.
But you know people do that, though.
Right. Here's the thing. I tell people all the time, this is not First 48. You see what happens on First 48? They go to jail 100% of the time.
But look, now, if police comes up to me, I'm coming home from work, got my briefcase, got my all my creds, got my papers, got my license, no outstanding violations. They said, look, some guy just robbed a bank down the street. And you said, well, I'm going to tell you anything you need to know. I shouldn't do that.
Here's the thing. You might be different from me, but
okay.
Because I am who I am, I'm just going to avoid conversation. I'm a upstanding citizen. I only know what the inside of a jail looks like from doing internships in college, right?
Right.
Never been arrested. I don't know anything about handcuffs, well, and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go there, but you know, so. I'm an upstanding citizen, but because I know that I have rights, I am going to assert them 100% of the time, even if I have nothing to hide.
And I'm telling you, the reason I keep saying that, because this is the trap I've seen so many people fall in, people that I've known who've run afoul of the law, documentaries. I watch these shows like Snap and some of these other shows. Probably too much. And that seems like where they get them, because they say, well, look, I hadn't done anything wrong. So they take them down to the station. They got them in that little room with the camera. And then after they start asking them a lot of questions, they say, wait a minute. It's starting to lead toward, like, you believe I did something. But by then, they've already given them probably incriminating information.
Right. And that's why I tell, shut up. Yeah. Shut up. The two best things that you can do to take my advice, shut up.
But what, how do you stand up in the guy, when he looks like one of these guys that might crack you over the head. It just, is chatting up going to keep it?
See, but here's the thing, though. If you're black, that, you know, talking doesn't stop them from beating
that's true.
You.
That's
so,
true.
You know, if you're going to get beaten anyway, just shut up.
If you're going to get beat, just be beat silent, but don't be
exactly.
beat and talking at the same time. Because they're going to beat you and they got something to incriminate you with.
Exactly. Because here's the thing. When you encounter the police, just know that you do have the right to remain silent. You do have the right to talk to an attorney. When the police start to question you, and here's the thing. In some states, yes, it's fine, you know, the police can ask you for your identification, right, just for identification purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to questioning you about things that may have happened, just know that the police can legally lie to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they do. And they will. They are not there. When the police start questioning you about a crime, boo-boo, they're not there. They're there to figure out what happened.
And they can tell you that your buddy just spilled, he just told everything. Matter
right.
of fact, he said you did it.
Right.
He said, wait a minute, hold on now.
Right. And they use these tactics because they work.
Right.
But, you know, when here's the thing. There are so many black people right now in jail or in prison for things they did not do, for either taking plea deals because, you know, the evidence. I can go on and on and on. About this.
Let me ask you this. Now, another thing that I see, like this may be just TV, but they got him in the little interrogating room, and then they do what they call a lawyer up. They just pretty much said, look, where's my lawyer? And they can just, they just stop right there.
Yes.
They cannot
right.
ask you.
Because once you've asserted your rights, they can no longer ask you questions.
No matter how far the interrogation has gone.
They have to stop.
Okay.
Now, the caveat is, if you continue talking, right, there's a presumption that now you've waived your right. If you're going to continue talking to them, so you have to be very, very clear about asserting your rights. I want to speak to my attorney. I am no longer talking to you. And then shut up.
Well, is there any advantage, and I think I know the answer, of cooperating? Is that just crazy, like you said, just talking just because you feel like I haven't done anything?
So here, I had.
Do they
some...
let you go home earlier? And say, look, I got a long day at work tomorrow. Let me just go ahead and tell this guy what I need to know, so I can just get out of here.
So I had a young man call me once, and he said that the police told him after they'd raided his home, allegedly found drugs, and you know, allegedly that his home was. Basically like a crack house, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the police told him, if you talk to us, we will get you a deal. You know, we will get you, you know, essentially we will get you witness protection. Because if you rat out this person, we know that they're probably going to try to kill you, right?
Right.
Here's the thing. Police do not have that power. They cannot offer a deal to you.
Right.
That is the job of the state's attorney or the prosecutor's office. Only the prosecutor's office can make deals with you. The police will lie to you as they can and tell you, well, yes, if you tell us this, you know, we will, you know, you will get this off of your sentence or we'll, you know, that's not how it works.
Doesn't work that way.
So, you know, in some situations, you know, can cooperation help you in terms of sentencing? Perhaps. But I don't believe in taking those chances unless there's a deal on the table in writing, signed by the prosecutor.
So, and let's say if we had to summarize, what would you say the most important thing is as far as when you find yourself in a situation where you have to interact with law enforcement?
So I think to answer that question, It really depends on the situation. It depends on the person. But overwhelmingly, I would say you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to ask for an attorney. And then just shut up. And you do have a right. If you make sure that you ask the police, am I free to leave? That's important.
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
Am I free to leave? Because it's important. It's important for your lawyer to know at what point were you considered, quote unquote, under arrest.
Right.
Right. Were they detaining you? Right. For a temporary purpose to get specific information, or were you under arrest? So because that all of those things are important in terms of where which rights begin.
Teacher, thank you. Hang on. We're going to have give your information again after the break. But that's great information. Boy, hope you all were listening. This is the Marketing Pulpit. I'm Robert Gate with your host. I have in studio attorney Tisha Hillman. She's talking about your rights when you're dealing with law enforcement. We're going to come back talking about licensing as a business strategy. Marketing Pulpit. We'll be right back after the break.
Washington, D.C.'s News Talk, 1450 AM WOS and 95.9 FM.
Good morning.
This is the Marketing Pulpit. We're here every Friday at 10:30 a.m. bringing you the good marketing gospel. We're not saving souls, we're saving businesses. If you have a question for my guest, attorney Tisha Hillman, my co-host, call us at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. She was talking about rights when you're dealing with law enforcement. And I was telling her, and we were discussing, that you have to remember that when you're dealing with law enforcement, they're not necessarily on your side, no matter how innocent you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
They have a totally different agenda than yours.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And if you're the only one they got, believe me, you better lawyer up in a hurry.
Yes.
Because they're trying to put somebody away.
And never consent to a search. Never consent to a search.
Mm.
You know how many people are in jail because the police just happened to drop contraband in their vehicle?
Mm-hmm. They need to lock somebody.
That's
up.
All I'm saying.
And then you add the crooked people in there, and it really can make it a bad situation for you. Once again, teacher, tell us how people can reach you.
So people can call me at 301-744-7996. They can also visit my website, which contains a great deal of information that could be helpful to your particular legal matter, and that is www.tshillmanlaw.com.
All right, folks. Call this sister. Just start the conversation. Folks, we're going to talk about licensing for a minute. Because last week we talked about affiliate programs. And the reason I'm touching on these particular subjects, because a lot of people start businesses and they think the only way they can make money is by selling products and services. Let me tell you something, folks. The folks that are making the big, big money, that's not how they're doing it. Okay, hate to bust your bubble here. We doing it the hard way. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but I'm saying that's not the only way. Folks that making the real, real cheddar,
making it rain,
they are doing some stuff you don't even know about. That's why last week I opened up some eyeballs about this affiliate marketing, how people sitting back out here golfing and people just going to their website and they're getting paid. Well, today I'm going to bring up another topic. It's called licensing and how you can add that as part of your business strategy. Now, I'm sure you've heard it. You heard people talk about it, and you realize, you see it all around you, but you just don't know how it works. Let me take that mystery away today. First of all, there's two ways how licensing can work. I'm going to talk about two different ways. The first one is where you actually own the trademark or the brand or something that's going to be licensed. In that case, you are the licensor. Let's say you have a trademark. Let's say Marketing Pulpit. Marketing Pulpit, it goes out, it trademarks the name, which it is. It builds a brand, it's popular, people are familiar with it. And then somebody else comes along and wants to start a radio show, and they say, well, look, nobody knows me from Jack Squat, but I want to start this radio show. My show is going to have much more credibility and power and name recognition if I can do it under the Marketing Pulpit umbrella. So in that case, Marketing Pulpit becomes the licensor. And the people that come under the Marketing Pulpit umbrella are called the licensee. And that can happen on much bigger companies than the Marketing Pulpit. So you have a trademark that's really popular, and somebody paid you a royalty or a fee to use that mark, then you can actually make money that way. That's called where you become the licensor. The other way it can work is that somebody else owns the trademark, and you use their mark to help move your products and services. Let's say you're selling t-shirts, and like again, t-shirts come a dime a dozen. Everybody can make a t-shirt. Hell, I can make a t-shirt. I can probably leave it a day and make a t-shirt. Nobody wants my t-shirt, believe me. They don't know me from Jack when it comes to the t-shirt business. But let's just suppose I go out here and make a deal with Stephen Curry.
With who?
The Curry guy, the little play for Stephen Curry.
Oh, Steph Curry?
Steph Curry, okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm using his former name.
And I don't even know anything about sports. That's a shame.
You know, okay, all right. Maybe I'm... Well, let's say Steph Curry. Let's say I'm selling t-shirts, but I go out here and say, look, Steph Curry, I'm selling these t-shirts. Can I put your image, your likeness on this t-shirt? And he said, well, wait, what's in it for me? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to pay you a royalty on every shirt that I sell. Now, guess what happens? Suddenly, my selling t-shirts, which was going zero in a hurry, all of a sudden, they are jumping off the shelf because I made a licensing deal with either a person, an organization, an institution to use their brand, their mark, their logo, their trademark to help push my product. And those are the two different ways that it can work. You can be, so let's go back to the first one. You built yourself a very strong brand. You've built yourself a very, very strong brand, but now you're tired of working. You say, look, man, I built this brand. Let's say Facebook. He's not going to have that problem. But let's say somebody who's built a very good brand, and then they said, I don't feel like going out here making inventory. I don't feel like going out here making product or doing any service. What I'm going to do is set back and license this brand to others to use to help them sell their product.
That's when you know you've made it, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Boy, you talking about getting paid. You never have to work again. And that's why you look at folks who are sitting around just rich, and you wonder why they're always making money but never working. They have figured this stuff out.
I'm trying to get there.
You know what I'm saying, Tisha? They are not worrying about 9 to 5 and how much they get paid per hour. That is the furthest thing from their mind. We're worrying about our hourly raise, how many hours we're going to put in during the week. They living in a whole nother paradigm, believe me. And that's how the rich stay rich, and the rest of us kind of stay out here scratching our heads wondering what happened. Now, so that's not how to, and let's talk about some of the how this thing works. So in generally, a royalty might be about 5%. So if you have a good brand and you run across somebody who's really, really got a good product and they're going to sell it, a lot of it, you let them put your brand on that, and you get 5%. Let me tell you something. You're going to make a lot of money for doing absolutely nothing. I mean, really. So what you want to do is, when you start these businesses, and you have a long-term strategy, and you want to think about what I always tell people, look, when you start a business, don't start this business thinking about you're going to be working till you're 80. That's not the approach you want to take. You want to have either some kind of exit strategy or how to turn that business into residual income. I don't care what your business is. Look at ways that you can turn it into residual income so you can either get royalties, commissions, or something down the road so you're not working till you're 95. People always ask me, Robert, how long do you plan to work? I said, well, that all depends. Now, as far as doing this physical work of consulting and creating and designing websites and logos and that kind of stuff, I don't see that going to be happening for much, much longer. Brother's getting a little tired. But as far as my brand and my business generating income, I look at that being generational. Okay? I'm just trying to work myself out of this 9-to-5 rat race every day. And that should be one of your strategies, too. And one way to do that is through some type of licensing as a business strategy. Now, let's just say you went out and you decided
to... That's a good idea.
Let's say you decided to do this. So you go out here. Let's take the second one for a minute, where you have a product, you have a warehouse, you're spinning out a good product every week. Let's say the t-shirts, for instance. What you try to do is go find yourself a licensee. somebody, I mean, a licensor, you become the licensee. Somebody whose name you can put on that product and move it like crazy. Now, you're saying, let's say if you're a retailer. If you're a retailer, you have a product that you're trying to get into retail. Now, that's one way to do it. Another way you can do it, of course, set up yourself a e-commerce website. But you said, where do I find these people? One of the best ways to do it, if you're trying to find yourself a licensor to put on your product, is to go to trade shows. You go to trade shows, and you bring your product there. And while you're at that trade show, and of course, you got to do some demographic targeting. Make sure that that person that's going to be licensing their product to you, their trade name to you, has a it resonates with your target audience. We use the example of Steph Curry, or let's say Michael Jordan, or the Nike swoosh, or whatever. The audience is going to be people who like basketball, okay, or even that team. Or people in his demographic, or his age, or his youthful, or whatever, you find people that are targeted to that same demographic, and that's the kind of folks you go out and find a licensing deal with. Okay? So if that brand is, let's say Mercedes-Benz, for instance. Mercedes-Benz, everybody's familiar with that Mercedes-Benz symbol. So you're selling cups. So you make a licensing deal with Mercedes-Benz to sell your fancy ceramic cups. Mercedes-Benz gets 5% of everything you sell. Now, there's a difference between licensing and promotional items. Promotional items is stuff you give away. Mm-hmm. But licensing is stuff you're going to sell. And you got to put a premium price on it to cover that royalty you have to pay. And in some cases, they may require an upfront cash amount in addition to the royalty. Now, this thing gets pretty complicated. So what you really want to do is engage somebody who specializes in licensing. And there are attorneys that specialize in this. There are companies that specialize in this. But it's not something you want to go on alone. But you can do the research. And this, I just really want to plant the little seed in your brain today to let you know, just like we talked about last week about affiliate programs is another way to make money without actually working. Licensing is another one. So when you start a business and you're sitting there scratching your head, say, I've done all this work, nothing's happening, you need to get a little more creative and start thinking outside the box. That's my message for today, and I'm sticking to it. Don't forget to support our sponsor, BLE Executive Suites. If you're looking for office space, if you're looking for someone to answer your phone, if you need a place to hold your workshops and seminars, call them at 322-1700, 301-322-1700, or go to BLE Suites. And if you become a new client, guess what? I'm going to bring you on this show to let you talk about your new business. Just ask for Robert Gatewood or Bernadette Clay.